In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
Come to the place where we don't take it, we dish it out. All right, welcome to the American Adversary Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. That's right, we're here live on this Sunday, first day of the daylight savings time adjustment. Hope you got, well, if you're listening, of course, you got your clocks reset, but I hope your body is reset. It usually takes me a few days. Well, in the meantime, we got a live show set up for you here tonight all the way till 8 o'clock, and then, of course, Armed American Radio with Mark Walters takes over and takes you till 11 o'clock. So a lot of great radio right in front of us here tonight, so let's go around the table and introduce everybody. Of course, you know who my co-host is on a regular basis on Sunday nights. Of course, that is the Firm Foundation himself. The Firm Foundation, not only his business, but of a lot of other things. That is Aubrey Kahn.
Thank you. And I do hope that it wasn't someone that had to reset your clock physically.
No, fortunately, it happens automatically with the telephones and things.
Anymore, okay, because right? It but can, you know, hurt when they reset your clock manually.
It's interesting because AT&T does it immediately, and T-Mobile sometimes takes a couple of days.
Well, I've got T-Mobile, and when I looked at my clock at my phone at 1 a.m. this morning, it had changed.
It had. Okay. All right. Maybe they got that fixed up. In the meantime, I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. And the other, more tonight, I should say more and more, is backed by popular demand, Nostra Dennis in the studio.
The band with my wife want to get the
wait a minute. We got to get that microphone on. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. It would help if we got the thing plugged in.
There you go. All right.
And 3, 2, 7, 6, 5. Wait a minute. Give me.
There we go.
All right. There we go.
Like everything else, good stuff takes time.
Smooth transition. Yeah, the popular demand was my wife wanted to get me out of the house, so here I am.
All right.
She's been trying since 10 a.m.
I spent the day in the house. I knew that if I tried to get up the day after we turned the clocks ahead and lose an hour, I would drag myself all day. Instead, I just had a friend over to come look all over my house.
Is that right?
Little dials and meters and levers and gadgets and things. Thank you for spending the day with me, Aubrey.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And the two dogs and the two cats and your kids.
They love them.
Oh, man.
How about those little chihuahuas?
There's no meat on them, though.
No, they're not.
They don't even taste like chickens, just bones.
They are all personality.
Although, my little one, Loopy, nearly killed a German Shepherd the other day. She almost got stuck in his throat.
Very funny. All right, Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
Hey, Chris, after last night, glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. Glorious.
He is, of course, referring to the NXT wrestling matches last night that we attended over on the east side of town. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it sure was.
And, boy, they got some good talent coming up in the NXT.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, NXT going to the WWE.
Who were the big winners last night? What kind of?
The audience.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No
particular names that stood out in the air.
Jeff knows the names better than I do.
Yeah, sure do.
Let's see. Rick Rude, he won. Didn't
no, it's Bobby Rude.
Bobby Rude. Yeah, Bobby Rude.
Yeah.
And Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke. Yeah, there was an article about him in today's Orlando Sentinel, as a matter of fact. Let's see. Who was it that won that that woman's tag team champ match there? You remember?
Yeah, it was Victoria Gonzalez, who I met before the match, and Aaliyah, along with her tag team partner, Liv Morgan.
Right, right. So, anyway, it was a lot of fun and definitely great action. There were a lot of families there, too, with kids there. So it was a great family night. So,
yeah. A friend of mine lives over in the Baldwin Park area, and he says when you go into the supermarket there, you can go up and down the aisles, and there's about a wrestler in every aisle doing their shopping in there. Because they all live there. Because the training center is right nearby.
Right, that's right. WWE plus NXT.
Yeah.
So it is a hot spot for flagging them down. And they're very approachable, too. All right, so it was a lot of fun last night. We got a big show lined up for you tonight. And because we are here and we are live, we invite you to be a part of the show. All you have to do is call us at 407-774-8255. And where should we start? We'll be talking some about the Obamacare stuff. We'll be talking some about the overreaction by the libtards, the liberals. We're getting some really ridiculous things being said, but that's par for the course.
You know, let them talk.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about so-called Russian involvement or connection, the Russian connection, whatever you want to call it, and some offshoots of that. So we got I got this book just real quick, and we'll get to this a little bit more later on. This book, Lair gave me this book. It's published in 2009.
Scary title.
It is. It's called Shadow Government: How the Secret Global Elite is Using Surveillance Against You. It's written by a guy by the name of Grant R. Jeffrey.
And this was done 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Just at the beginning of the Obama administration.
Exactly. Wow. And he talks about stuff that WikiLeaks has just revealed. All right. And what has coming to light as a result of all these leaks coming out of Washington, D.C., which the leaks have resulted in a lot of things being revealed that the leakers and their superiors didn't want to be revealed. So it's that's what happens when you start, you know, slinging around confidential information like it's gossip.
And that reminds me, we have a nice big screen TV here in the studio. We just had it put in recently.
Yeah.
Is that a Samsung TV? Because if it is,
they could be watching us.
They could be.
Fortunately, it's an insignia.
I don't even know what that is.
And that Samsung is the smart TV, the one that you can talk to and it'll do things.
Yeah, it'll talk back.
It'll listen anyway.
Hey, move over a little. I can't see that. Hang on.
Not only can you talk to it, but it'll be listening when you're not talking to it. That's the whole idea. So we'll delve into that a little bit more later on.
But talking about Samsung.
Yeah.
Because of our current president, they are no longer going to be building a factory in Mexico. They're investing $300 million in a new factory here in the United States.
Well, how about that?
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah, and so you'll have electronic devices not made in America for a long time now being made in America.
Made in America.
So to listen to us.
So you'll be locally made to listen and spy on us.
By a Japanese corporation, I might
locally
add, right?
Made, local spies.
All right, so Donald Trump has spent the weekend working. He had a working lunch yesterday with some of his key cabinet members. Rex Tillerson is on the way to make some visits around Europe and visit with the Russians, and the media is not invited, which, of course, they hate as much as the day is long. Given the way they cover things, perhaps it's better that he do go alone, that is, without the media. But we'll see what comes of all of that. In the meantime, the media, as I predicted on the show Friday, has been trying to make a big deal out of Sessions'
Friday afternoon asking for the remaining district attorneys, federal attorneys in around the country to resign.
To resign, yes. Strange,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. One of them decided not to. He said that he was promised by Donald Trump personally that he would be kept on.
Oh, that Muslim gentleman.
Yeah. It's not Pete. It's like Feet Bahara.
Feet.
Yes, there you go. Thank you.
Stinky feet.
It's not spelled F-E-E-T, but it's anyway, Bahara is his last name, and he is the New York attorney.
Right,
and,
that explains that. New Yorker.
Right, and he actually did have a meeting with Trump in Trump Towers back in November after the election, but well before the inauguration. In which we don't know what Trump told him. All we know is what he said when he came down. If you remember, there was like a microphone stand there. As people were coming and going, they could stop and speak to the media. And he said that he had a good meeting with Trump and that he was asked to stay on. Now, he did stay on for a little while.
And then he got fired.
Well, because he didn't resign, he got the call, and they fired him. And now the media is trying to make a big deal out of this. And it was amazing to see that they paraded out none other than John McCain to get him to weigh in on this. Whoa. Now, having said that, I will say this. John McCain did say, look, you know that I and President Trump don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but on this one, he's in the right. And there's plenty of precedent for this.
Did he forget to take his happy pills? But as you said, this precedent, I have in front of me a copy of a letter to the Honorable J.B. Sessions III, United States Attorney, Southern District of Alabama.
Yeah.
Mobile, Alabama, zip code 36602, and it states, "Dear Mr.
Sessions, what's the date on the letter?
March 23rd, 1993.
So that'd be 2 months into the Clinton presidency.
And what's to
don't give us a whole letter away? I want to read it.
Okay,
go ahead.
Right. Dear Mr. Sessions, the president has asked us to request that United States attorneys immediately submit letters of resignation, as has been asked of all presidential appointees. Please address your letter to President Clinton and send it in care of John Podesta, the assistant to the president and staff secretary, with a copy to me. As a United States attorney, you have played a vital role in the administration of justice in this country. Both the president and I appreciate your years of public service and wish you well in the future. I thank you for your cooperation. Sincerely, Janet Reno, Attorney General."
Wow.
He's landed on his feet, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, and she didn't.
She's kind of unsteady on hers, right? All right, in the meantime, we'll take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries, where once again we separate fake news from real news. All right, stick around, because we're going to be here live until 8 o'clock. I hope you'll be here with us. Nostradamus, good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you.
The first 100 days of the Trump administration is a new beginning for America, and it could be a new beginning for you in your pursuit of the American dream. Hi, I'm John Siebert, president and co-founder of Patriot Home Funding. Co-founder Pierce Outlaw and I are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and we both have over 30 years' experience as mortgage industry leaders, making the American dream for many families a reality here in Central Florida. The IRS started accepting tax returns on January 20th, and refunds are going out now. You may be able to buy a home with your tax refund and close within the historic first 100 days. Call Patriot Home Funding now at 877-377-8123 to learn how you can achieve the American dream. At Patriot Home Funding, we say yes when the banks say no. Give us a call at 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding. We finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida. NMLS number 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
We here at the
American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you being out there. Before we went to the break, we were mentioning Janet Reno in a letter that she had written, not just to Jeff Sessions, obviously, but to all
the attorney generals.
Right, they fired 93. One had already resigned. Lately she's been rather unsteady on her feet, referring to the fact she had Alzheimer's disease, and then Nostradamus mentioned that...
Yeah, on Election Day, well, there was more coverage... devoted to the election than to the fact that she passed away.
See, that slipped right by me.
Last year, yep.
Wow, on Election Day.
I wonder who she willed the truck to.
That's right, the thing she used to drive
red
around.
Red Ford truck with like 200,000 miles on it.
Yep, that's right. How about that? And you said that maybe she didn't...
She just didn't want to live in a world with a president named Donald Trump. That's it.
She was one who held good to her promise that if he gets elected, she's out of here, right?
That's right.
Oh, well.
She meant it.
All right.
She's the only Democrat that has stood by her word.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so that's just a bunch of fluff. But, you know, the Democrats are trying to make as much as they can out of every little thing that they can. It's interesting because... Today, not just the Democrats, but Chris Wallace on Fox this morning was we're talking about is this the make it or break it moment for the Donald Trump presidency?
I'm sure he's turned Democrat.
I don't think that's what you're talking about. The make it or break it moment. This attempt to redesign, repeal, replace, Obamacare. Whatever you want to call it, adjust, fix.
Affordable Care Act.
Yes,
the
yes.
Unaffordable. We don't care. Act.
Yeah. The American Health Care Act is the title given to the House bill. And it is now the media 50 days in, right? I think it just hit 50 on Friday. Right. So now they're saying, is this the make it or break it moment in the Trump presidency? And of course, they want it to be the break it moment. They've wanted ever since the guy was elected to break the momentum, break any sort of chance that he would have of doing anything.
What was it you said on Friday? 80% of the news stories about Trump are negative in nature since he's been inaugurated?
In the first 30 days since the election, a study was done, and this was of the broadcast
all
news
the
media.
Broadcast networks and the 24-hour news?
No, this would have been the broadcast
ABC,
news
NBC,
media.
CBS.
CBS, yes. And the results were that... over 50%, I believe it was 54% of the coverage was about Trump, and 88% of that coverage was negative. Was not just negative, they called it hostile, which meant that not only was it negative coverage, but that it was also tainted, I would say, with the opinion, here it is, with the opinion of the anchor. In other words, there were editorials woven into the story.
Oh, in other words, fake news.
Right, and much more glaringly so. Here it is. It was by the Media Research Group. 88% of broadcast news was hostile in the first 30 days of Trump. 88% of the stories about Trump, in other words, were hostile toward him. And 54% of their total coverage during that time period was about Trump.
Which makes sense when any new president gets elected.
Right,
sure.
But what doesn't make sense is the 88% of that being hostile toward him.
It makes perfect sense.
The other 12%, that's not saying the other 12% was rosy.
No.
That's just saying it wasn't hostile.
It might have been neutral.
Right.
Or at best, or still even negative.
Well, that 12% might have been Fox News.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that the media and the liberals, of course, the liberals, you expect it, you know, they're political opponents, but the media, they portray themselves as somehow having some objectivity. Yeah, and I think that's a lie to begin with, but they maintain the lie, but then,
they feel they are objective. They don't realize how biased they are.
Many of them do. Some I disagree with you. Many of them do feel like they're that ignorant that they feel like they're being objective.
I think they're marinated in it so deeply that they don't even realize they're surrounded by
bias. But there are those who do know. And they realize very well the slant of the media and buy into it, play into it. So it's no surprise. But, of course, they, as I said, they try to make as much out of everything as they can. And so the Obamacare thing is going to be a make-it-or-break-it moment for the president, which means if he gets something passed, they may real quickly, reluctantly admit that, okay, he didn't break it, but look how bad it is. Okay? That's going to be the coverage. They're going to go out and find every Tom, Dick, and Mary who loses their coverage or in some way they can portray it, whether it's true or not, because this is a fake news, that they are somehow being tragically hurt by this action that the Republicans and Donald Trump are taking. Of course, they totally ignore all the people who are hurt in the transition to Obamacare, right?
Well, because the people that were hurt are not the downtrodden.
No.
Not the poor, but...
Well, it depends.
And they can afford a 300% increase in their premiums because they're doing all right.
And a quadrupling of the deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine.
The approach under Obamacare, and this was admitted today by Donna Shalala.
Okay.
Right?
HHS.
Yes. And she was on one of the Talking Head shows this morning. And she said, because the Republicans are out there making a good argument in terms of, like you mentioned, the deductibles, that people might have coverage. They might have a card that says they have insurance, but they don't have health care because they can't go out.
They can never get to reaching the deductible under normal circumstances.
So, in essence, all they really have is catastrophic health care insurance.
Right.
Okay? That is now at an extremely inflated price.
Correct.
In other words, if they'd have bought catastrophic health care insurance with similarly high deductibles before Obamacare,
it'd be dirt cheap.
It would have been dirt
relatively
cheap. Right. Exactly. Right? And now, if you don't qualify for Obamacare and the supplements, and you don't live in a state where they have expanded Medicare, like the state of Florida, you are prohibited from buying insurance. You can't get it, right? In other words, if you're a single person and you don't make $10,000 a year on showing on your taxes, this is, you know, that... You don't qualify for any supplements, and you are prohibited from buying insurance because there is no longer an open market.
Right. You have to take Obamacare, which is then pushing you onto Medicaid.
What I'm saying is, but in states where they didn't expand Medicaid to pick up all those people, like the people, like the single guy who makes less than $10,000, okay, now what will happen is, they still get Medicaid if they go to the hospital,
right?
Or they can get Medicaid help. But initially, the hospital will look to them to pay the bill.
Correct.
And, by the way, the hospital will give you a cash rate You know, if you make payments to them, they will give you a discounted rate. But the bottom line is, it's still convoluted, and people really don't have health care. So what the Republicans say they're trying to do is not focus on people having access to coverage that is dictated by the government. They want you to actually have access to health care, and that is their priority. And so, not to say that really explains the ins and outs of the bill, but it's a better approach, I think, in the long run. Because what they're trying to do is bring you closer and closer to the actual health care provider. That is the purpose of the health savings account, so that you develop the money in that account that can be used for medical expenses tax-free. It's all tax-free, and that way you can pay those deductibles, and if you don't spend it in 1 year, you roll it over into the next, and it grows. And at the end, and I don't know if they still do this, but one of the beauties of the health savings accounts when they first came out with the idea was when you got to retirement age and you went on to Medicare, that became your money.
Yes, and it was tax-free.
Hallelujah. Right? It's another retirement vehicle.
That's just a scheme for the wealthy.
But what it does is, and this is really one of the positive parts of the bill that is working its way through, is that it's a big step in that direction. Does it deliver us to the doorstep of that? No. But it's a huge step in that direction and away from the direction which Obamacare is going, and that is that you have government bureaucrats and the like in between you and your health care provider. And because everything's done through the government. You want to get back to the days when the doctors would actually make house calls.
I don't know if we're ever going to get back to those.
There are actually a few out there.
It should be a goal that doctors want your business bad enough that they'll come to your house.
As it is right now, the doctor has a list of patients, and they use a stopwatch to determine how long they can spend with every patient because they have no other choice.
Right. And because the profession is now bereft of enough doctors to fill the need. So the whole thing is imploding in on itself. And the best way to fix it is to put people in as much direct relationship with their doctors and health providers as they can, and cut out the middlemen as much as possible. Can't eliminate it totally because of the costs of catastrophic care, but you can take care of it without having to spend huge amounts of money on required plans you don't need. All right, we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WOR. 1520 The Biz.
And it's Sunday night, so you know what that means on 660 AM and 105.5 FM, The Answer. It means it's the American Adversaries three-hour tour. And the three big wheels on the tricycle tonight are Aubrey Kahn from Firm Foundations.
Woohoo!
Christopher Hart, our gallant host.
Ring, ring, ring,
and me,
ring.
Nostradamus. I'm the little wheel in the back.
All right. All right. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to join us in the conversation this evening. You were talking about this Obamacare thing, and the administration is saying that they're firmly behind the Ryan package, we'll call it. The House, the House bill that's moving through, and yet they say that they're also open to new ideas. This is just a framework, and of course, this is just be really the beginning of the process. And if you remember, and some of the Democrats are right to point this out. Of course, they do it for the wrong reason, but they're right to say that it took well over a year, about 18 months, to get Obamacare passed through.
It's going to take at least that long to undo it.
Well, it may. That's why I think they want to get as much done as they can out of the gate using the budget reconciliation process. And they've got to pass the budget. So it's an opportunity to do this with it or without it. And I think that's what Paul Ryan is saying when he says, you know, we can either do this or not. But they are preventing any amendments being offered in committee. We'll see if that continues. It's passed through two of the four committees that it has to get through before it goes to the floor, if the leadership chooses to bring it to the floor, and assume they will. But if it is obvious that it's going to go down in flames, they may pull a thing. We'll see. Anything can happen before it's finally passed through. But if it goes through the other two committees without any amendments being allowed, then perhaps they will allow some on the floor. And amendments that might make it more agreeable to the Senate. Because the Senate is where it could come up against a logjam in two ways. If they put things in it that the Senate parliamentarian does not think should be in a budget reconciliation bill, that will stall it and send it back. And he is not an he's not a senator. This is a non-elected position. And however, the senators can, by vote, overrule the parliamentarian. That is what happened when Harry Reid changed the filibuster rule for federal judges and cabinet appointees, and no longer made it a 60-vote threshold. But is there the political will for the Republicans to expand the authority of the budget reconciliation process? That all would come into play if the House puts too many things in it that the Senate claims they can't pass through the reconciliation process. And there is a recognition that there is some limit. There is a line somewhere that, okay, these things you can have in a reconciliation bill, these things you cannot. But as so often is the case when you're dealing with anything having to do with law, and legislation is law, there is that, okay, where is that line?
And
okay,
at what point do you get enough support that you can pass the whole bill?
Exactly.
They've got to figure out exactly where that is.
Right, right. And of course, the Senate wants to push the line further their way. The House wants to push the line or back off the line. And you would think that the Senate would be in a better position to know what could pass through the Senate on budget reconciliation. But the House is making assumptions that certain things cannot. And there are certain things that everyone recognizes cannot be done through budget reconciliation and will have to be done through legislation. Hence the three-phase approach. In essence, people like Rand Paul and some others, and we have a plan here that Rand Paul has put out, and you can see it at his website. He calls it the Obamacare Replacement Act. It's Senate Bill 222. And he wants to do it all at once. Let's do it right now. Let's repeal it and rebuild it all at once. And what the House is saying is, can't do that in budget reconciliation. We can do a lot, maybe more than we think, but we can't do everything that you're talking about. Rand Paul says, no, well, we can do this. So the opposition in the Senate are senators who feel like we can do it all at once. The House and the White House approach is what they call the three-phase approach. And they are basing this on the political reality, in their minds anyway, and they may be right, that you cannot do this all at once because of the way we're going about it with the Budget Reconciliation Act. Now, we can forget about going through budget reconciliation and just try to do this all via legislation. But the chances of it passing with 60 votes in the Senate are probably zero, somewhere between zero and none. And I'd have to agree. I don't think Democrats, even in states like Florida, where you got Bill Nelson, are going to flip that decisively and just scrap all of Obamacare in favor of a plan put forth by Rand Paul and the most conservative Republicans in the Senate.
All right, one or two might for each one of those little pieces.
You might get Joe Manchin, right? Joe Manchin is in a state, Kentucky, that Trump won by like 40 points, okay? There's a couple or three others. but you also may lose some Republicans,
yep.
right? In states like Ohio, Rob Portman, he thinks that the House bill goes too far. So there's no guarantee that the all in one time at once approach is going to work at all. As a matter of fact, the odds, the probability is much greater that they will come away with nothing except a campaign issue for 2018. I can hear the call now. Well, we need more conservatives in the Senate. Just give us more senators and we'll get the job done. Right? Well, in the meantime, maybe the Republicans lose positions in the House. In politics, you got to get what you can get while the gol dang getting is good.
Because the game is never over.
No!
The final gun might sound, but there's another quarter starting right away.
And you have no way of knowing what's going to happen in the next election cycle.
See, 2016.
I was going to say, if you need any proof of that. All right? So the bottom line is, I think perhaps the three-phase approach might be the better approach. Now, having said that, the Senate is welcome to pass out a bill that will go through budget reconciliation that has a whole lot more in it than the House does. I think the House would be quite fine with that. So that's what they need to do. Now, Rand Paul does have a plan, and it's how many pages is this? You said 7 pages?
Four pages. 4 pages.
To repeal and replace a 2,800-page bill?
Yeah, and it's, the House plan is 70. But this is its outline. Obviously, it would need to be fleshed out. This would never pass through as a bill, but it does provide an outline, and it starts by repealing Obamacare. That's the first part of it. It's called the Obamacare Replacement Act, and the first part of it is repeal Obamacare, each and every little stitch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in one hand, that's fine and good. But phase two, and see, Rand Paul was on, he's been on the Talking Head shows. He was out there again this morning. Of course, they want to show anybody that shows any opposition to anything Trump is doing, they want. But that's okay, because this is part of the process of working this out. But he was out saying that one of the problems he has, and he has many, but one of the problems that he has with the House approach is that it leaves many of the Obamacare regulations in place. And that is correct. Because the House assumption is those things won't pass through budget reconciliation. Budget reconciliation, for it to mean anything, has to mean items that have to do directly with spending money, with the budget. Regulations in the sense of overall regulations aren't directly related in that sense. Once again, you're talking a legal matter. And great legal minds can be on total opposite ends of the, oh, yes, they are. Oh, no, they're not. That's what you end up with, right? So at some point you have to say, these things are, these things are not. As it is understood now, the regulations that resulted from Obamacare that were written not by the legislature, this is where there was actually some truth in Nancy Pelosi's words, we got to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
Because it hadn't been written yet.
Because what was in it was allowing the HHS department to write it. So there was, even if they read the whole thing, they still couldn't really know what it meant in the end.
A whole bunch of insert details here.
Right. And so what phase two is to take all of that authority and turn it right back around on Obamacare, and we'll get to this after the break, and Rand Paul is saying, yeah, well, the next Democrat president can turn it around again, and he's right about that. But that's where phase three comes in. You use phase one and one, two to start the process, and you use phase three to end it. All right, we'll get back to phase four of the first hour of the American Adversaries Drive. No, well, I'm sorry, Sunday evening, 3-hour class.
If you're driving,
tour.
It's okay.
That's all right. Please stay with us at any rate. We'll be right back.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same. Soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on a Sunday night. We're here, we're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Got Nostra Dennis in the studio with us for a little while tonight.
Hi.
Always great to have a man around. And we were talking about this Obamacare stuff, and it's, of course, a real touchy issue. There were more town hall meetings this weekend, and shouting sessions is what they're turning into.
Marco Rubio is going nowhere near that.
He doesn't want
anything to do with that.
He may be the smartest one in town, mm-hmm. I'll tell you. The Sentinel's giving him a little heat about it, but his argument is basically these are, you know, paid protesters coming into most of these meetings.
Well, they are.
And disrupt with the sole purpose of disrupting them, mm-hmm. and which they do. and
they do a good job. They work hard for their money.
Yeah. But now the other side has caught on, too, and you've got people going in there and shouting, "We demanded repeal of Obamacare. We want repeal." And it's the Republicans are in a touchy situation. If anything, I don't think it's make or break it time for, and this is what the media is trying to portray, make it or break it for Donald Trump. If it's make it or break it for anybody, I think it's the leadership in general, or in particular, and Republicans in general in the Congress, right? Because people know that Donald Trump wants changes. He wants things done. He wants, and amongst the people who voted for him, they understand him to want things to be made better, to make America great again. And they see him trying, right?
And they see the Republicans butting their heads against a stone wall.
You got it, brother. And so who do you think is going to get blamed if this goes down in a flame? Now, I suppose at the end of the day, the media would be just as happy with that. And try to start the process of, regaining and helping the Democrats to regain control of the House. But there is a lot at stake here, but I do believe it's more so for congressionals, particularly in the House, than it is for the president. And the media is partly responsible for that, but the Republicans are partly responsible for it, too. And Rand Paul has some good ideas. Why they can't figure out what can be done during reconciliation and not, or maybe he's not even talking about budget reconciliation, but it is, if they're going to go this route, that means they will not be able to get all of Obamacare repealed and replaced. It just won't happen through budget reconciliation. And I don't see anything happening with... unless you do it through budget reconciliation, because there are just too many Democrats in the Senate right now.
Well,
You know, we have a lot of leeway because of Mr. Harry Reid.
No, well, like I say, that would require pulling the trigger on the so-called nuclear option for budget reconciliation.
Well,
and I don't know that the leadership is willing to do that.
Don't know if we have to do it through budget reconciliation. If we just repeal and replace one bill, 50 votes.
All right. Here's what I think is behind the motivation behind the Republican leadership. All right. Here's what I think political reality is from their perspective. All right. First of all, they do want to get as much as they can done through budget reconciliation because it only requires 51 votes in the Senate, and really only 50 because you have
50 and Mike Pence.
Right. Exactly. So you could actually lose two Republican votes and still pass it through. Okay. And they want to get the process started of turning away from Obamacare towards individuals maintaining their own health care plans, whether it be it through a health savings account and catastrophic plan, or if they want to go the more traditional route and buy a more full coverage health care plan through an HMO or something like that. If you give people the opportunity to do that again, and if you're poor, they'll give you a tax credit, which means you will be able to use that money to buy that health care with. And by the way, in Rand Paul's plan, he calls that credit that the House offers continuation of the Obamacare subsidy. And yet in his plan, I'm reading now from his plan, it says, provides individuals the option of a tax credit up to $5,000 per taxpayer for contributions to an HSA. If an individual chooses not to accept the tax credit or contributes in excess of $5,000, those contributions are still tax preferred. In other words, there are tax advantages to doing it. So in other words, he's saying he's going to give $5,000 in a tax credit, which you can actually use in your HSA, which means you don't even have to buy an insurance plan with it. You can use it to go down, and by the way, he also has in his thing exercise equipment, vitamins and stuff. So you can take your tax credit, which he is saying is somehow different from an Obamacare subsidy, all right, and in fact it is, but he criticizes the House's tax credit for being like the Obamacare subsidy, which it is not. Tax credits give you money to spend on what the credit is for, but it gives you the choice to spend it or not. There was a tax credit, I think it just expired, for like 10 years to buy an electric car. Okay? Now, did either one of you guys buy an electric car?
No.
Okay, so did you take advantage of that tax credit? Did you get the money that the government was offering? I think it was like $10,000. Did you get it?
No.
But you had the opportunity to, you see? It is the same thing with this. You have the opportunity under Rand Paul's plan to take the money and spend it on your own health care directly, or on the House plan, from my understanding, you take the money and you buy health insurance with it. But in either case, it is your choice to buy what you want with it. Right?
Or not buy anything at all.
Or not take it and buy anything at all. That's up to you. Right? But if you're wealthy enough and you can afford it, you now have more options than you have under Obamacare, under either one of these plans. And then under budget, like I said, okay, so here's what I believe the leadership is doing. They're going to get what they can under budget reconciliation, leaving understanding, knowing that it's not going to be all of it. And they have a reason for that beyond whether it is a reconciliation qualified or not. They have a reason beyond that, okay? Phase two is to take the Obamacare bill itself and all the power that it gives the government and reuse that to their advantage and help insurance companies, help healthcare providers, help healthcare manufacturers, help pharmacy companies use the government regulations to help them instead of hurt them. Some might say that's Big Brother just doing Republicans bidding for them. Others might say, hallelujah, go at it. Right? But they're going to use what the bill itself provided to dismantle the bill, in essence. And this is what I think Rand Paul doesn't get or doesn't believe will happen, because he says that the House approach leaves too many regulations in place. Well, they're saying that's phase two.
Tom Price is going to take those regulations and rewrite them and make them much more favorable to our way of life, our way of looking at things. And then in phase three, and here is the key. Phase three, they put forth legislation repealing the remainder of Obamacare and putting in place the other things that they can't get through budget reconciliation. I see you're shaking your head, but let me tell you their reasoning why. They want an issue for 2018 out of this. They want to be able to go to the American public, not with nothing, with something, but not everything. So that they can say, look at how much we've done, look how far we've gotten, but to go the rest of the way, you got to give us 8 more Senate seats.
We're working on it. We're doing real good.
And I don't,
back us up here.
I don't know if the American public is that gullible and stupid.
They elected Obama twice, didn't they?
That is not gonna get more Republican seats. All right?
It just might. Because the alternative is to go the Rand Paul approach and risk losing it everything, and then you gotta really, what do you got? You still got an issue. That's all you have. You see, they're saying with the three-phase approach, even if the House bill doesn't pass, Tom Price can still do a lot of damage to Obamacare without anything happening in the legislature. All by himself, because of the way Obamacare was written, he can rewrite major portions of it by himself.
I understand
okay.
that.
So, they one way or the other, they're going to come out of this with an issue for 2018. I guarantee you that's part of the plan here. And if they want a really big one, they'll go with Rand Paul, and the whole thing will go down in flames, and they'll say, well, we need more power. Or they'll go the House approach, and they'll get part of it passed, the rest of it. They know the reason they're going phase three is because they know phase three is not going to pass the Senate. They're counting on that.
And it'll never pass the Senate because the Senate hasn't got the guts to stand up against the Democrats.
At this point, they don't have the votes, Aubrey, to stand up against the Democrats unless they want to change the rules.
We have the Reid rule.
Well, they are reluctant to expand that.
Right. Instead of playing it for 3 years like the Democrats did and then changing it back to a 60-rule vote.
No, they didn't change it back.
A 60-vote rule.
No, they did not change it back.
No, I'm saying that's what the Republicans should be doing. They should be nailing this Reid rule for the next 3 years because the Democrats used it for 3 years and then...
And then change it back in 2019.
So that in 2019,
you beat us with this stick
back
for 3 years. Yeah. We'll beat you with
back, and then we go back to where it should be.
Yeah. Well, that's another side argument of this altogether, which brings all that into play. But that is not going to happen.
Right? Show me one instance in the last 8 years where the Republicans did not cave to the Democrats in the Senate.
But I'd be hard-pressed, too.
Exactly, my point.
Right? But they have, in the years since they have been controlling the Senate, let's just say they have maintained the power there and done little to repeal anything Obama has done, but did do a little to keep it from getting worse.
Oh,
now,
whoopee.
Yeah. All right, so now we're here where they are in control, but don't have the votes, as the rules in the Senate stand now, to do everything that you're demanding them to do. So the question is, do they have the
guts,
whatever you want to call it,
the spine,
to change the rules,
the cojones.
And in this particular instance,
they don't.
They're not even talking about it yet. So maybe they listen to the show, maybe they'll start talking about it, but I don't think they do. I don't think that's part of it. I don't think they want to. That's part of what I'm trying to tell you here. They want an issue for 2018, and they're going to have one way or the other. Either the whole thing's going to go down in flames, or they'll get something out of the House, but not everything, and they'll have an issue. All right, I got an issue with this clock because it's running out on me. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back with 2 more hours of the 3-hour Sunday Evening Classic Tour. Please be with us.
In a time when all seemed lost,
A voice rose from the wilderness. A voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
Take it anymore. We're going to dish it out. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
But not to the Senate.
We are the American Adversaries in the midst of our three-hour Sunday evening classic tour right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, you can always download the WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device. And
don't forget to like us on Facebook at American Adversaries.
That's right. That's right. And that is Aubrey Kahn, and he is the African-American on the right. And I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis on the bridge. Nostradamus had to pull up stakes. It's always great to have him in the studio, and really feels good to have Nostradamus around. All right. In the meantime, you can be a part of the show. Call us at 407-774-8255 in order to do so. We're talking about this Obamacare thing, and you know, you don't want anybody to get too stressed out about it. And by the way, if you do, you can always go over to the Relax and Comfort store in the Winter Park Village and sit in one of those chairs for a little while. That'll de-stress you, that's for sure. But, you know, Rand Paul's got – I like Rand Paul's plan. I really do. I think it's an excellent plan because it, once again, gets you directly involved in your health care.
And you're in control.
And you're in control of it. And It's well thought out, and it's a great plan. And if he can get this thing through the Senate, glory, hallelujah, let's take it to the bank. You know, but it's they're all focusing on the Ryan plan when the senators need to get together and come up with their own. I assume Mitch McConnell has some ideas on this. Maybe his idea is whatever Paul Ryan sends over from the House, that will be, you know, become the Senate plan. I haven't heard him say, but if Rand Paul is serious about this, he needs to start building a coalition of support in the Senate, and so that they can come up with their own version. And the Senate doesn't have to accept what the House passes out. Under the Budget Reconciliation Act, they can still make some changes to it. So it's not a done deal even when it comes out of the House. So all this, you know, gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands is at this point unnecessary. This is part of the way normal legislation works its way through. The leadership takes a piece of legislation they like, and they push it, and they push it hard. This is the way it works. And then we try to figure out why they're doing it. And I believe that the reason they're taking this three-stage, three-tiered, three-phased approach is because they don't believe they can get it all through with the numbers they have in the Senate. They want to get what they can done with the power that they do have. And if they are correct in those assumptions, then we better go with what they got or whatever the best version of it yet to come is. And I dare say that whatever's going through the House right now is not going to be word for word, verbatim, what comes out at the other end. There are going to be changes to it. Some better than others, I would imagine, just like the bill itself. It was funny, St. Pauli girl Ryan, I had to agree with him on one thing he said today. he was put to, you know, on the fake the nation, the interviewer was going, yeah, how can you push this bill so hard, you in the White House? You got
conservatives in your own party who don't like it. You got liberals who hate it. You got nurse groups out there who hate it. You got the AARP who hates it. You have doctors groups who hate it out there. It seems like everybody hates the bill. Paul Ryan kind of laughed and he said, well, maybe that means it's a good bill if everybody hates it, right? I guess it's one way of looking at it, right? But in essence,
listen, if AARP hates it, it's a great bill.
I think we must judge it by what they say they're trying to do. And this actually was once again recognized by, it was Kathleen Sebelia, wasn't it, who was head of HHS, not Donna Shalala. It was Kathleen Sebelia.
Sebelia.
Right. Okay. This morning she said the focus of Obamacare, because actually Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos was saying, look, the Republicans do have a point that under Obamacare you might have a plan, but you also might have as a single person a $5,000 deductible. And her response was, the focus of Obamacare was to get people covered. Okay? In other words, they wanted you to be able to have a card or something, you can say, I have insurance coverage. They didn't care so much if you could use it.
Or whether it was affordable.
Well, that's what I mean. Affordability wasn't a thing because they were going to provide you with supplements to pay for it. They weren't focused on care. You're conflating affordability with care, okay? In their mind, they made what they wanted to do affordable, and they did. They wanted people covered. They didn't care if you could actually access the coverage. All they wanted to do was be able to go to the American public and say, we got 20 million more people covered that weren't covered before.
And we're going bankrupt. That is why we need to go to a single-payer system, which is what the goal always has been.
Well, because their goal was coverage. You see, she was actually being quite honest. All they cared about was that you could say you had coverage. They did not care if that actually meant you could get health care. Right? Now, having said that, that was their approach. So their approach was, let's just get everybody covered. Okay, whatever it takes to get people covered so that we can go out and say, we got people covered. That's all the goal was. With the Republicans, they say their goal is to get everybody health care. Not covered with a policy you can't use, but actually get you access to health care. So we should judge whatever comes out of the House and or the Senate by those terms. Does it get us closer to actually accessing health care than where we're at now? And if it does, we should prefer it over what we have now, whether it is the ideal end result plan or not. If it gets us closer to actually getting health care, that should be something we could all agree on. And that is what they say their approach is. So, as I said, we don't even know what this bill is going to look like, much less what they're going to come up with in the Senate. But whatever they come up with, that should be, I believe, the measuring stick. Does it get us closer to actually getting health care for ourselves? And right now, the House bill does accomplish that. It doesn't get us a whole lot closer, but it gets us closer. What Rand Paul is talking about would get us a whole lot closer. Right? But they're both steps in the right direction. One's a much bigger step than the other. And the reason is the people who are taking the smaller step don't believe they can make the big step. Maybe that's timidity, as you're saying. Maybe that's political reality, as they are saying. But the bottom line is they are both definitely a step in the right direction. And so, at the end of the day, if we can't get the Senate version, settling for the House version would be much better than what we have today. And at the end of the day, that's pretty much all you can ask for in politics. And it's a never-ending struggle. And if you think any battle is going to be over, and just look at it this way. The Democrats say in 15, 20 years, they now control the White House and both houses of Congress. They will be able to do Obamacare all over again. The fight will be renewed unless the Republicans really have in place a system that provides health care. If they can do that, if they can deliver, then the opposition coming along and changing it radically is going to have a much more difficult time. If you remember, one of the reasons that Obamacare passed is that because everybody was convinced the health care in this country was crap. And that was a total lie to begin with.
It was a total lie, and the only reason it passed is because the Democrats had enough votes on their own.
Exactly. They had 60 votes in the Senate. 60, if you remember.
But you know what? If we had 60, you'd still have people like John McCain defecting. You'd still have Olympia Snowden.
Olympia Snow.
Right.
And well, you're making my point.
Which is why you've got to go nuclear, because if those two defect, you've still got 50 votes. You've got Pence to pass it.
Well, see, that's the problem with going nuclear, is that you scare away more than just John McCain. You scare away now Lisa Murkowski. You scare away Rob Portman in Ohio. You scare away others who, once again, they are in the Senate. They don't like Rand Paul's plan. They don't like the House plan because they think it goes too far with whatever particular issue plays big in their state. In Ohio, it's Medicaid, okay? Because John Kasich expanded Medicaid in that state. Almost a million people in that state who are now on the Medicaid program.
Right.
Okay? And if you don't have something for them to fall back on, and you just leave them out in the cold, what do you think it's going to do for Republicans' chances in Ohio?
They're on Medicaid.
What I'm saying is, once those Republican governors went down that hole of expanding Medicaid, they created a tremendous problem for anybody coming along behind them trying to do away with Obamacare. Because now you have people on Medicaid are probably better off than the people who are getting the supplements and buying insurance.
Exactly.
Because everything is paid for them.
Exactly.
So, here's the problem. Now you have all these people expanded under Obamacare that you got to figure out what to do with them. And neither one of these approaches is satisfactory to the politicians in Ohio, that it protects their people who have now find themselves on Medicaid.
Those with pre-existing conditions who cannot get health insurance on the open market are automatically switched to Medicaid, which is what was in the Obama plan. If you joined the Obama plan and you were uninsurable, you went to Medicaid.
But
that portion stays.
Yeah, but the what to do with the rest of the people who have now found themselves in the Medicaid plan is the question.
Well,
not people with pre-existing conditions, but simply people who now find themselves in Medicaid who weren't there before, and to them, they are getting health care. So you got to figure out what to do with them, and neither one of these plans so far satisfactorily addresses that issue. The other issue we have is we're out of time in this segment. We'll be right back.
The first 100 days of the Trump administration is a new beginning for America, and it could be a new beginning for you in your pursuit of the American dream. Hi, I'm John Siebert, president and co-founder of Patriot Home Funding. Co-founder Pierce Outlaw and I are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and we both have over 30 years' experience as mortgage industry leaders, making the American dream for many families a reality here in Central Florida. The IRS started accepting tax returns on January 20th, and refunds are going out now. You may be able to buy a home with your tax refund and close within the historic first 100 days. Call Patriot Home Funding now at 877-377-8123 to learn how you can achieve the American dream. At Patriot Home Funding, we say yes when the banks say no. Give us a call at 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding. We finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida. NMLS number 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
All right, that's right, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries, where we give you the good, the bad, and the ugly of it.
Talking about me.
Hey, we got to call it the way we see it around here. All right. 407-774-8255 is the number. Want to move on, but before we get off this subject, we have a caller, Roger, who wants to talk about the Health Care Act. Roger, thanks for being out there tonight. How you doing?
You're doing great, Roger. How you doing?
Excellent.
A couple of issues about the taking the smaller steps at a time, and it's easier to get what you want or get to where you're going that way rather than one big leap. You try one big leap, you're liable to miss, and then you're screwed. Another way of looking at it, I think, is one big plan is kind of similar to a comprehensive plan that the Democrats always want, and we need to stay away from that.
Yeah, and that's the approach that Rand Paul is talking about in the Senate. Now, he has a four-page outline, but I can imagine what this is going to look like after the Senate gets finished writing it. That seems to be the approach that the House is taking, and that is it's not a huge step, but it's a significant step, and let's take it because we know we got it. It's like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Smaller steps get you where you're going. Where that big leap might be screwed.
Right, and you don't know the ramifications right away of you know necessarily what'll happen while you're doing it. And if you take Rand Paul's approach, you take all of the discretion that Tom Price is going to have to dial back regulations out of his hands, all of that would disappear. And so that could be used actually in a positive sense for the time being anyway. It's all about strategy. But the bottom line is what the Republican approach is, and this is you get this from both the House and the Senate, is that they want to people to actually be able to access health care, not just be able to say they have an insurance plan, whether it's bought by the provided by the government, whatever. They actually want people to have health care. And that means dramatic changes, you know, from what we got right now.
So what happened to bold colors? We're going back to pastels again.
Well, Reagan also said, if all I can get is 80%, I'll take the 80% rather than nothing. And there are political realities. Okay, now we can debate over what those political realities are, but they do exist. There are some things that can be done politically, some things that cannot. And I don't think, even if going the comprehensive approach was a good idea, which Roger is saying is probably not, but even if it were a good idea, I can't see it pass in the Senate. It just isn't going to happen. So why go that route? I mean, in politics, this is what the Democrats have been so good at. And Roger just hit the nail on the head. They take those small steps.
Small steps?
Yes.
Obamacare was a small step. How many steps
Obamacare
did that take?
Was the culmination of a lot of other small steps that would never have been achievable had they not taken those small steps. They have been taking steps towards Obamacare since Franklin Roosevelt was president.
You see? But because they were small steps, nobody noticed. But it still got them to where they wanted to go. And if you don't take steps in the right direction because it's not big enough, you're never going to start off and begin with. And that's what the Republicans, they are facing certain political realities right now. Once again, like I said, we can debate what those are. But they translate into what can you get passed or not. And if they can get something's passed in the Budget Reconciliation Act, they should go for it. And then if the Senate wants to write another separate bill, cleaning up the rest, that's part of Phase 3 anyway, let them do it. Or if they want to write a bill to do the whole thing, if they can get it through the Senate and then send it back to the House, I'm sure Paul Ryan will march that thing right through the House. But it will not happen. The Senate is too divided. They're too spineless, as you yourself have said. And perhaps there is even more wisdom in not going that approach. Because look what happened when we did the Obamacare. That was a comprehensive bill, right? I think that the phased approach is probably the more desirable, and I think it's almost assuredly the more possible.
Yeah, the conservatives want us to have health care as opposed to some boondoggle of a
right.
bill that they can write.
Right, and even though it's not perfect, like I said, it's right. not a huge step. It is nonetheless a step in the right direction. And believe me, the liberals hate what they're doing in the House because they know. Even though some bits of Obamacare will be left, their goal of the one-payer system has been cut out and eliminated, at least for now. And they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and start all over. That's why they hate it.
And the conservative approach from the conservatives is different than the ones from the Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah,
remember to differentiate there too. So
exactly, you got the factions within the party. So there's a lot of right.
And you got Republicans.
Right. There's a lot of dynamics at play here, which I'm calling political reality.
Correct.
And you got to deal with all of them. And you got once again. The bottom line is in politics. You know, I've seen this study in politics. Pretty much my whole life, but in college for sure, is that you take what you can get when you can get it, because the chance may not come around again. So you got to go for it and get what you can and then come back for more next time. And the battle is never over, like I said before. Thanks, Roger. God bless you for being out there.
Y'all have a blessed evening.
All right. Give your wife a hug for us. We appreciate you both. Okay. All right. So we'll see how this plays out. But like I say, don't get too stressed out. But if you do, go over to Relax and Comfort, and they'll unwind you. Okay, so the intelligence community has demanded that Donald Trump produce the evidence
within 24 hours.
By tomorrow. I thought the intelligence community worked for him, not the other way around. And in fact, he should be demanding from them the evidence because they are the ones who have it.
they're not going to give him the evidence.
I mean, isn't this beautiful? But look at how Trump has turned this whole thing with that beautiful little tweet. What was it, 2 weeks ago now?
Mm-hmm.
When he said that the Trump Towers were bugged.
Right.
I mean, he has put the onus right back on the accusers of him and those who said that he was collaborating with the Russians. Oh, they're still trying to work that story a little bit. But now it's all about the tapping and pardon me, the surveillance. And there's ample evidence out there that surveillance was being conducted. But as we've said on the show before, it wasn't entirely literally correct for President Trump to say that Obama had his phones tapped. No, it was not correct. However, was it true that the Trump campaign and certain people in it were being surveilled? Yes, it is very much true. And by the way, Rand Paul, when he was on Fake the Nation this morning, they brought this subject up as well. And the subject of the NSA gathering intelligence on all of us. And like I said before, they're not gathering, quote-unquote, intelligence on us. They're storing every communication. So, in case they need it, right? It's like they're hoarders. They're hoarders of electronic communications. They want all of it. And then they'll decide what to do with it. And by the way, low-level staff members at the NSC with very low clearance can access very high, secured information, and literally can access any information on anybody they want. Remember the guys that were harassing the ex-girlfriends or something like that? There was a story where some NSC contractors were going in and accessing actual people's personal information. It's sort of a grudge thing. I don't remember all the details. Hey, we're dealing with human beings at the end of the day. So, you know, human beings, they've been fallible since, what, Adam and Eve, right? So sinning's going to happen, whether it happens in the NSC or not, or without, it happens everywhere. But Rand Paul this morning said that one of the reasons why the NSC surveils so many foreigners is so that they can surveil legally Americans. Because if Americans are communicating with the foreigners, then they can get access and get permission to surveil that American, right? So sometimes, according to Rand Paul, they're not interested in the surveillance of the foreign agent as much as they are interested in surveilling the Americans that foreign agent is doing business with or talking to or whatever. With the assumption, of course, that American is probably doing something wrong. Now, is it wrong for them to make this assumption and to do this in order to spy on Americans, spy on a foreign agent? Not to spy on the foreign agent or really care what any they have, but to spy on an American.
It's to get around the FISA rule.
It's to get around something, for sure. All right. One thing we can't get around is the hard break, and one's coming up right now. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a book that I mentioned earlier in the show. It's called Shadow Government. And we're going to talk about some of the things that are revealed in this book that was written. Once again, it was published in 2009. And I've got a paperback copy, and it's kind of yellowed. So it's obviously not a brand new book, but we're going to talk about things. It's got cute little titles of chapters like Chapter 11, The Mark of the Beast, Population Tracking. Stick around. We'll be back.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And just to lighten up a little bit, I have a gentleman who's friends with me on Facebook. He's a Muslim, believe it or not, and his name is Amin Yashed. And he made a post the
other
day.
How do you spell that?
AminYashed.
Amin Yashed.
And he got upset because people are taking the Mickey out of his name.
The what?
Taking the Mickey out of him. One person tweeted or said on Facebook, "Mate, I've looked in my shed and I cannot find you. Are you sure you're in there? All right?" Because they say people are emailing, texting him and saying, "You're not in my shed."
Okay, I'm in your shed.
I'm
in your shed.
I'm in your shed. So, Amin, you're now infamous, buddy.
All right, that is Aubrey Kahn. I am Christopher Hart, 407-774-8255 is the number. He couldn't get in my shed, man. You opened the door. It's funny because...
You never know, because he might text you.
There was about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. I live in a little cul-de-sac close to downtown, and somebody came through there, marauding through there, the neighborhood, breaking into cars and stuff, right? And they smashed the window of the car next door, and they had gone into my shed. And it was funny because they, like, opened the door of the shed and saw this wall of stuff and just turned and left it all there. So, all right. Disorganization sometimes pays off.
All right. Once you finish that, I'm going to lighten up again.
Okay. All right.
Shadow Government. You can still get this book by Grant R. Jeffrey. He also was the author of the novel The Next World War. Actually, I don't believe it was a novel now that I mention it. But he wrote this book. It was published in 2009, in which he talks about much of the surveillance techniques that we that are being exposed today by WikiLeaks and others via all this leaking and the Russians and all that hacking business and all that stuff, right? And the premise of his book, the underlying premise is that we could very well be in the end days because the technology that we, quote-unquote, enjoy today makes it possible for the end days. For instance, the Mark of the Beast.
Yep.
Okay? We kind of already have it in the sense that everybody has a number. Okay? But he talks about it even going further where eventually people are going to have the little chips.
All right.
And, of course, the chip will be sold to you as this is a great medical device or...
Your history, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. You want to have them in your kids in case a kid gets kidnapped or lost or whatever. You'll be able to recover them. And so, the technology exists. He's right about that. And whether or not it's the end days, that's up to God. But what he is saying is that nowhere else in history can we find an instance when the tools of the end days are all present. Nuclear weapons, great fire, and all that stuff, right? So the book is, that's a sort of an underlying premise, and then he describes the various technologies and how it can be used by a global government, which is what he says is the goal, a global government.
That's the UN and one world government,
right,
where Obama wants to go to.
Right, where you would have, if you had a state or a country like the United States, it would still maybe be called the United States, but there would be no borders, right? There would be no currency. It would just be more of a geographic location than the idea of a nation and a political system.
Well, we got a perfect example of that with the UN.
Yep.
All right. I have an article here.
Where they
UN has issued an ultimatum
to
President Trump
about
accepting refugees or else.
Right. And, of course, the new travel restrictions are due to go into effect later this week. And there's already a handful of states who say they're going to challenge them. And then the UN has to pipe in, right?
Well, the UN better butt out, because if Trump decides we're going to withhold all funding from the UN, UN's going to go bankrupt.
Well, that's what he should do. And he should at least threaten them and make it very vocal and very open and very clear and
because
very direct.
You do know who the head of the human rights is at the UN?
I believe it's Iran right now, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct.
Yes.
So
right.
How come
right.
he has not condemned any Arab nations for not taking in refugees? Because it's all about jihad.
Well, in fact, he has approached the Arab states about, if not taking in the refugees, at least providing the money to provide safe areas and refugee camps for them, rather than have them mass migrate out of the Middle East and out of their home countries. So, once again, it's a step in the right direction. But to get back to the book, he talks about this growing elite who want to protect their elitism by setting up this world government, and how surveillance and all of this plays a role in that. And at the time when he wrote this book, he focused on something called Project Echelon. Project Echelon is kind of quaint by today's standards, but Project Echelon was one of the first metadata mining projects, where they took electronic signals and began to store them and surveil them in mass. And not just in this country, but around the world. Other governments are doing the same thing.
And, of course, you can abuse this weapon, or excuse me, this information, and use it as a weapon against political opponents and things of that nature, like we may very well be seen happening right now, where you have the intelligence community daring to demand that the President of the United States produce evidence of an accusation that he made, when they are the agencies that he would go to obtain that evidence. So it doesn't indicate that the providers of the evidence are too willing to provide the evidence. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, they wouldn't be demanding it from Donald J. Trump.
If they hadn't hidden it.
They would be providing it to him.
Right. They've hidden it because a lot of them are holdovers from the Obama administration.
Right. And here's the problem, is they're hiding it now, but they were parading around with it like exhibitionists for the few weeks prior to and after the inauguration, waving around these highly sensitive reports, transcripts they were being called, of conversations between Michael Flynn and the Russian ambassador, and maybe also between Manafort and other Russians, and oh, heaven forbid, this is awful stuff. Now all of a sudden,
where's the evidence?
Where is that?
Where is
that
the evidence?
Yeah. You got the New York Times going back and scrubbing articles, Soviet Union style. You know what the Soviet Union used to do if somebody, say, under Stalin or Brezhnev fell out of favor? Say it was a general or a high government official, and they fell out of favor. So they took them out and they sent them to a gulag or maybe...
Out of Mongolia or wherever.
Or they executed them.
Yeah.
Do you know what would happen to the record of that individual? It would disappear with them.
That's right.
There would be no record.
Right.
It would be like they never existed. And that is what the New York Times is trying to do with their wiretapping article from January the 20th. They have scrubbed it of the wiretapping headline and replaced that headline with a Russian surveillance headline.
But guess what? You can't remove it from the internet.
Well,
try.
Yeah, but here now going forward, they'll say that the internet is the liar, you see? So this is how the little game is played. But it goes further than that, that the elite have come up with not just a surveillance apparatus due to the advanced technology, but they also have come up with weapons systems due to advanced technology. And we'll talk about some of those when we come back from the break. Some of these you've probably heard of. Others you were probably theorizing exist, but we'll talk about them. And once again, this book was written in 2009, so one can only assume that maybe this is dated even yet more still. But it all changed when we went to the computer chip and digitalization. That's when the things that he describes in this book became possible, and as he puts it, that's when the end days became probable. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into this, and don't forget, we got a whole nother hour to go tonight, and then Armed American Radio will take you from 8 to 11, so you got a whole lot of great radio to go, and look, it's still daylight outside. How about that? Right?
I wonder why.
Yeah. Now, I hope you didn't put away all that chilly weather gear, because it's supposed to get cool again this week. But we're sure to keep it hot around here on our American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, live Monday through Friday at 5. And also at midnight on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network, rednationrising.us. And like Aubrey said, like us on Facebook at American Adversaries. When we come back, we got some more to go, and I hope you'll be with us.
Everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort, and I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same. Soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the American Adversaries. Thank you for doing so. Aubrey had a little something extra about those refugees, you know, the UN demanding that the United States take them or else, right?
Right. Yeah, well, the United Nations Human Rights Commission is meeting behind closed doors and debating whether or not to go after the United States for violating international law. All right. Now,
the committee headed up by Iran.
Right. Now, there are bureaucrats in the UN considering suing the United States and forcing us to accept refugees and illegal aliens. And the biggest slap in the face is that this whole lawsuit is being financed by U.S. tax dollars.
How about that? Because we finance the U.N.
Right.
All right. Well, they're not alone in opposing the travel orders. As I said, there's been a number of states. Hawaii was the first one this time to step up.
Right. Because of refusing to resettle. Because Hawaii, after all, has been resettling refugees.
Oh?
They've resettled a total of 5.
Oh, bless their
hearts.
And
none of them are from any of the countries that are on the Trump banned list.
No, those refugees probably came from Vietnam or Korea.
Probably.
Yeah, or China. So, yeah, it's laughable. By the way, the borderless one world government, actually Bill Clinton, just I think it was yesterday or the day before, was making a speech where he was talking about this. And he was saying, you know, we shouldn't become too nationalistic. That the idea of these nation states, and I'm using my words now, but he's describing it as a quaint notion, a naive notion in the world of today. He's describing the United States without borders, a globalized United States, where we become part of a Western Union. I don't mean that from the bank. I mean like a European
Union. Right.
And then eventually a global union. And
Global union with a couple of exceptions, according to the United Nations chief.
Yeah.
All right? Because he's warned President Trump.
Yeah.
Didn't just say it. He warned him that any attempt to support Israel would be unacceptable because there's absolutely no alternative to Palestinian statehood.
Right.
The hypocrisy is amazing.
The arrogance is amazing, but that's what they do, and their goal, once again, is to have a one world government. That's right. By the way, I just want to give you a little example of what Grant Jeffrey means when he says that we now have the ability to bring about the end days. He'll go in and he'll pull out a Bible
script and scripture. He says, for instance, he says the Old Testament prophet Zechariah appears to have referred to neutron bombs in his prophecy regarding the city of Jerusalem at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. He now quotes the prophet Zechariah. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And he says that that notion of the flesh consuming away describes what happens when a neutron bomb goes off, and it uses gamma rays that destroy the flesh of the victims and vaporizes bones and buildings and equipment. Actually, the buildings and the neutron, the idea of the neutron bomb is that the gamma rays will destroy flesh,
but leave the buildings intact.
Right, exactly, that's right.
So for reoccupation.
I had some buddies that wrote a song once called Neutron Bomb. It was Neutron Bomb, everybody wants one. The buildings, the people they die, but the buildings they stay. All right. All right, anyway, that's an example, but and he talks about other weapons that that the global elite are in possession of via nation states. He talks about phaser type of weapons that you might see on Star Trek, electrical pulse weapons.
We have those.
Yeah. By the way, Tesla invented an electrical pulse weapon way back when, and he actually demonstrated it to Mussolini. He demonstrated how with this weapon he could disable a vehicle. In other words, he could, if you're driving along, he could disrupt the electrical circuit in your automobile, and it would shut it off. And he demonstrated by shutting off the vehicles of some of the military vehicles that Mussolini had brought out for a test. So, and that was back then. He talks about a photon-directed energy weapons, and of course, we now know that we have energy beam weapons that has been they are considered to be defensive weapons to be used against incoming missiles. He talks about particle beam weapons, electronic guns, a thermobaric rifle. And the most interesting one, he calls the voice of God weapon. Let me just read this. The U.S. military also has created a weapon that can project a verbal or even a visual message into the mind of an enemy combatant. Knowledgeable insiders suggest that the designated target actually perceives the message as coming from God or Allah. Picture a suicide bomber or other terrorist on a mission suddenly hearing a voice in his or her head. Two technology companies, Holsonic Research Labs and American Technology Corporation, have developed their own versions of sound directing technology. Does that exist?
I don't know. Maybe WikiLeaks can let us know about that.
Maybe they will let us know.
Maybe.
But the fact that the ability to use electronic focused weapons is definitely a reality. There's no question about that.
The Star Wars defense system, that's another perfect example. And that was back in Reagan's day.
That's right. And he talks about other technologies that have, including stealth technology. But the bottom line is this government apparatus that we have is running roughshod over our rights of privacy. It was James Comey this week who said that Americans shouldn't
expect to have
total privacy.
And he's wrong. We have the Constitution, which guarantees it.
Well, in that sense, you're right. But in the sense that he's talking about, he's right. What he's saying is that there's so much done electronically in our lives today that we're leaving trails everywhere we go. And when we went to plastic form of currency, it made it easy to track our whereabouts, our transactions.
And
then when we went to digitalizing phone and other forms of communication, it became very easy to do that.
Just because the ability exists does not give them the right to use it.
That may very well be so. But just because the ability to do it exists means they are going to do it. And they will find reasons to do it. And they will all be based around protection and security and that sort of thing, because no way would anybody allow it under other circumstances. But if they can make the argument that we have to do this to protect Americans from terrorist acts, we have to do this to protect Americans from the drug cartels, we have to do this to protect Americans from themselves, people will buy into it. So that's what we have done. We have bought into it. See, I think a lot of people know. They may not know the stuff about these weapons in this book, but I think a lot of people know that their electronic communications are not private. If they don't know it, they should. Well, because in that sense, Comey's right. And it, in terms of the correctness, the rightness of it in terms of morality is a side of the fact of the correctness of it in the sense that it's happening.
If
and
they
that's
want
what he's saying.
If they want to store my data, they are supposed to go to the FISA court and get a warrant.
Believe me, the government's not the only one. Anybody and everybody you do business with is probably keeping...
I'm not disputing the fact, but what I'm saying is it's against the law.
That's been argued in the courts, and the courts have decided that if you use electronic credit card devices to make purchases, that the people who sell you those things can sell certain amounts of the information that they garner from those transactions on the open market. Because the assumption is that if you're out there buying stuff, that you do not have a guarantee of privacy, either as you're walking down the street to buy it or what you buy when you get there and take home with you.
Time to convert to cash and stuff it in your mattress, folks.
While you can still get your hands on it.
Right. Let's just lighten it up with a little bit of true story about governments. It's called the chicken gun. Ever heard of the chicken gun?
Is that anything like one of these other electronic weapons? No. The thermobaric rifle?
No, but you know, sometimes it just takes a rocket scientist. Scientists at NASA, they built a gun specifically to launch standard 4-pound dead chickens at the windshields of airliners, military jets, and the space shuttle, all traveling at maximum velocity. The idea is to simulate the frequent incidents of collisions with airborne fowl to test the strength of the windshield.
Right.
British engineers heard about the gun and were eager to test it on the windshields of their new high-speed trains. Arrangements were made and a gun was sent to the British engineers. When the gun was fired, the engineers stood shocked as the chicken hurled out of the barrel, crashed into the shatterproof shield, smashed it to smithereens, blasted through the control console, snapped the engineer's back seat in two, and embedded itself in the back wall of the cabin like an arrow shot from a bow. The horrified Brit sent NASA
the
disastrous results of the experiment, along with the designs of the windshield, and begged the U.S. scientists for suggestions. NASA responded with a one-line memo: defrost the chicken. True story.
Okay, stick around for another hour of the American Adversaries, where you never know what you're going to get on a Sunday night or any night around here. That's the great thing about live radio. Okay, and don't forget to check out our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and Kathy Santomassino, who's going to join us here in a few minutes, has been putting stuff up there regularly, so you got to check it regularly.
I want to see her beat the story tonight.
All right. Well, we'll find out. She'll be here shortly, and we'll be right back after this short break.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to dish it out around here. We are the American Adversaries, entering the third of our three-hour Sunday evening classic tour. Thank you so very much for listening on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer, or 1520 WBZW, or AM660TheAnswer.com, or on your smart device because you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device.
I thought it was R.
Listen, on April the 1st, now this is no fooling, all right, this is the real deal. April the 1st, you're invited to the third annual gala to benefit the Wounded Officers Initiative. I have the privilege of being the MC once again this year, and we'd love to have you come out and join us for this event. If you would like to be a part of the event in terms of sponsorship, I don't know. I think they're all gone, but if you want to try, you can at woundedofficersinitiative.org. But other than that, you're welcome to buy tickets and come and celebrate the gala with us. And we're going to celebrate in our own way, if you will, at least recognize officers who have been wounded in the line of duty from around the country. In addition to all the ones that were there last year, they'll have, who were, I think, a dozen. They'll have eight more there this year. And, you know, just, was it last Sunday night that the soccer team played their first game? Was it last Sunday or the Sunday before, Jeff?
It was last Sunday.
Okay, last Sunday. All right, downtown with the new soccer stadium. Well, afterwards there was a sheriff deputy who was down there, not as a sheriff deputy, but he was in full uniform. He had been hired as security for the event. Well, lo and behold, this happens in soccer matches. There was a fight afterwards, and a number of people attacked the deputy, and they got the better of him until he was. Assisted by other police officers, but he had to go to the hospital for a while. People are in the business, the law enforcement community, are suffering injuries and wounds every day, and yet very few people are in that situation have the backup, if you will, to assist them. That's what Wounded Officers Initiative is all about. WoundedOfficersInitiative.org is where you can get tickets and find out information if you want to be a sponsor. WoundedOfficersInitiative.org, April the 1st, 6 p.m. at the Ocoee Lakeshore Center. All right, you are invited. Come on out and join us, please. All right, Kathy Santomassino has joined us in the studio with me, Christopher Hart, and Aubrey Kahn. And coming to us live once again from California is our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, Sunny Patricia Summerlin. How you doing, Sunny?
Hi, Chris. I'm doing good. I like that, the wounded officers. You know, as I had an ex who was an LAPD, or still is, and not retired yet, they go through a lot out there in the line of duty to protect us in this world. So, you know, we all need to give back to them and appreciate, and don't wound them, don't shoot them, don't fight them.
Right.
You know, it's horrible what's happening in our society. It is.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing that. I wish I was there. I definitely take part.
Okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I knew you would be able to relate to that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Definitely. The
The winter has been a very wet winter in California. A lot of snow and rain, as you know. You've been in the middle of it. And this week it was revealed that the state of California, just in the northern area alone, has allowed enough water to drain into the Pacific Ocean to be able to provide for 14 million homes for a year in California. Is anybody in California talking about that, or is it they don't want anybody to know?
Well, yes, they are, and they're saying, yeah, a lot of it was wasted. But, you know, on the other side of that, in Carlsbad, which is the opposite of North, is in towards San Diego, the desalination project is in the works. So what they're doing is they're supposed to convert this water that goes into our beautiful oceans, I guess 56 million gallons of seawater each day into drinking water.
Yeah.
This is a huge project. It's a $1 billion project.
Right.
Though. And it's going to take quite a bit of time. And, of course, guess who's going to pay for that?
The taxpayers.
The water customers. The water increase will go up.
I see. They're going to start.
Of course.
So people who buy the water will pay for it. And it makes sense in various parts of the world to have desalination plants. Probably in California, not a bad idea.
Right.
But idea that we will let fresh water drain into the ocean only then to take it back out of the ocean and desalinate it kind of doesn't seem to a lot of people to make a lot of sense. In other words, wouldn't it make more sense to try to trap the water that is already fresh and prevent and store it or send it to parts of the state that can use it rather than let it drain off into the ocean?
Exactly, capture it and preserve
right.
it rather than
right.
spending umpteen, millions or billion into a private company that's going to now do this. And gee, that's California for you.
Well, it's not just California. This is the result of like Jerry Brown's the governor, and mm-hmm. he is typical of a lot of people who think that human beings have messed up the climate of the earth. It's going to hell. The temperatures are rising, and we've destroyed our environment, and therefore we need to make policy. We need to make government policy, which includes taxing people, based on that assumption. And his assumption was the drought would never end in California. He said it. He said it on numerous occasions. The drought in California will never end. It's a result of human-caused global warming. It'll never end. So he didn't put any planning or any consideration or any money into any project that would shore up dams, that would shore up the spillways, and would shore up the aqueducts. Because there was never going to be any water to go there. So why do it?
He did the same with infrastructure money
right.
as the $700 billion that Obama took for infrastructure money to stimulate the economy because of all the shovel-ready jobs.
Yeah.
He wasted it and gave it to his buddies.
Well, it's what happens when, let's just say, bad science conflicts or comes into contact with politics. And when I say bad science about the global warming thing, it's bad science because they think it's science by consensus means that it's good, that it's already decided. Nothing in science is already decided. That's the whole idea of science, is that it continues to go on.
Exactly.
But they are making public policy based on scientific conclusions, which are very tenuous at the best. And in California, we see a result of that. So they let the fresh water go into the ocean so that they can take it back and then desalinate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Weird. Yeah.
They'll find a reason to stop that because there'll be some threatened and endangered fish that might get caught up in the desalination project.
You might be right about
right.
that.
Right, that's a good prediction there.
Yeah.
Aubrey. Yeah.
Yeah. On another note, illegal entries into the country all across the southern border are down. Is anyone in California noticing any change in that?
Well, I don't know if we're noticing any change, to be honest, because California's that we have, we're flooded with them, and that's
right.
not to be cruel or anything, but it certainly is nice to know that when I was reading the stats. And also, what's happening is they're running for the border, but they're going the opposite way. Yes.
that's just it.
They're going back.
and Trump's not kicking them out. They're going on their own en masse.
Yes.
And it's because they're afraid that he's going to actually enforce the law. It's amazing what will happen when a new sheriff comes to town and he actually wants to enforce the law. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it works. It's a proven fact. Yeah, they're scared. And so they're going. And, in fact, the traffic has lessened, too, which is a wonderful thing. I haven't been up near that area in San Diego, but from what I've heard from my friends, it's a lot less traffic. And that's a lot of, you know, headache right around that area. And you also had to worry about dodging the people from Mexico running across the traffic, you know, not caring. And, oh, it would be horrific at night. You're going to hit someone. It was usually, you know, a Hispanic running for, you know, our side, and they keep going. They got over here, and they don't care. They're going to run in front of traffic, you know. So that's also been subsided a great deal.
So there are signs that that there is a change going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad Trump stood up, and I hope he enforces this all the way, because eventually California will see that, and it'll become a safer, I'm hoping, because, you know, we get these stats in Bakersfield, which is probably 40 miles north of me. There is gang-related shootings after another, drug-related shootings after another, and these are Hispanic. They're not white. They're not black. And it's every day there. And I hope that that will change and get these guys out, because they're certainly not legal here. I'll give you that. So I'm hoping that it really enforces and they go back and this world will start changing on that end.
All right, speaking of changes, Dianne Feinstein is up for re-election next year. It appears as though she's going to run, even though I think she's like 84 years old. But she carries it well, I'll say that. I never would have guessed she was 84 or over 80. But it looks like the Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to run in that election. I know he didn't go out of, you know, when he left the governorship, he wasn't very well liked. Do you think he's got a chance to come back as a Senate candidate?
Well, he may have, because people are putting him there, to my understanding, and he has spoke up and he has shot it down and says, I am not running for the U.S. Senate. He goes, though I am very flattered, but it's not going to happen.
He is terminating the idea, huh?
He is the Terminator, and he's terminating it.
Well, I think it would at least make the race a little bit more interesting out there, that's for sure. I mean, he does give good speeches. Whether he was a good governor or not is up for debate, but he does give good speeches anyway, right?
Yes, he does. I mean, his speech needs a little improvement. He wasn't so clear and concise, but yes, I you know. It's a 50-50 with good old Arnold. I think he better stick to being the Terminator, though.
Well, do you think anybody can beat Dianne Feinstein, though?
I like her. I've always liked Dianne. And I also didn't know she was 84. My goodness, she holds her age.
Well, I don't know if it's 84, but she's right around 80. I believe it's over 80. Yeah, she's up there.
So. Let's hope she's not listening, Chris. She's probably going, well, then, I am not that old.
She might pull out that gun she carries on me, by the way. You know, it's interesting because she is against assault weapons and stuff, but she nonetheless carries a gun herself. So at least there's some hope there with her, I guess, right?
Yes. Yeah.
She is pro Second Amendment when it comes to her and her family.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
I think one of her best points is her hair. But
you do, huh?
She does have hair.
Okay. All right. Listen, we're about out of time. Real quick again, what's going on later this month with GLOW?
Oh, well, let's see. This is in March, so not yet until April.
April.
But at the end of the month, we are showing a documentary on Netflix, the GLOW documentary. That'll be March 31st. But
right.
The actual series starts June 23rd on Netflix. We're all going to be standing by to see what's going to be happening there. But in between, as I was telling Jeff briefly, I've been pulling out my hair this morning. I've been really busy with the CAC, trying to get the girls there and honored. And Matt Simber will be attending with his beautiful wife. And as everyone knows, we're being honored. And if you'd like to join, you go to thecauliflowerallyclub.org, get your banquet ticket, sign up for your year membership, and we'll see you there. And it's going to be amazing because we're back in Vegas, where it all started for us girls 30 years ago. I spoke to Brian a couple times. By the way, Chris, he said to tell you hello.
Yeah,
I said, yep. I will let him know.
All right. Yeah. Well, Brian, yeah, he's a part of our Friday shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess what starts in Vegas ends up back there.
Right? This is true.
All right.
That's right. There you go.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for the update, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy, Aubrey, and Chris. Have a well. And Jeff on the back there. Have a wonderful sunny week.
You too, son.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks a lot. All right, we'll be back with more of the American Adversaries. I hope you'll be back with us. We got some more odd stories for you. So what else is new? It's Sunday night. It's time for Kathy Santomassino's Odd Stories. Sunday's Odd Stories.
The first 100 days of the Trump administration is a new beginning for America, and it could be a new beginning for you in your pursuit of the American dream. Hi, I'm John Siebert, president and co-founder of Patriot Home Funding. Co-founder Pierce Outlaw and I are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and we both have over 30 years' experience as mortgage industry leaders, making the American dream for many families a reality here in Central Florida. The IRS started accepting tax returns on January 20th, and refunds are going out now. You may be able to buy a home with your tax refund and close within the historic first 100 days. Call Patriot Home Funding now at 877-377-8123 to learn how you can achieve the American dream. At Patriot Home Funding, we say yes when the banks say no. Give us a call at 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding. We finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida. NMLS number 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's what we do around here. We boldly go where no one goes before us. We are the voice to be reckoned with. We are Titans of Talk Radio. We're the American Adversaries, and we're back. Kathy Santomassino has Sunday's odd stories for us right now. So let's go to the American Adversaries Relax and Comfort Studios. Kathy Santomassino.
If you loved the Jimmy Buffett hit, Wasting Away Again in Margaritaville, and you're close to retirement age, soon you will be able to nibble on sponge cake as you watch the sun bake. A little Freudian slip there.
Yes.
That's right. Jimmy Buffett is lending his famous song to a retirement community by the name of Latitude Margaritaville, slated to open in Daytona Beach later this fall.
Oh, wow.
Current plans call for walkable neighborhoods, a fitness center, and food and drinks from Buffett's Margaritaville restaurant. Margaritaville Holdings and Minto Communities announced the partnership last month. Minto said the community's focus will be on music and will include a band shell for live entertainment. I wonder if Jimmy Buffett will be there in the flesh to entertain The old people.
Speaking of in the flesh, is it going to be a nudist colony?
No, Chris.
Because he's into that.
Get
you know?
Your mind out of the gutter.
No, he's into that stuff, right?
This community, to me, sounds like an awesome alternative to the villages, especially if you're an old parrot head soon to enter the golden years.
Wasted away.
With the villages?
Wasted away.
Well, right. We're not calling Miami defense lawyer Stephen Gutierrez a liar, but we can say that during a trial on Wednesday afternoon, his pants were on fire.
Oh, you got that one. I was going to use that later.
Gutierrez had to run out of the courtroom after his pants began to burn while he was giving closing statements in an arson case, according to the Miami Herald.
Someone said his pants on fire.
That's the real funny part, is it was an arson case.
Yeah. Well, no, it gets more interesting.
Someone said it's on fire.
Right. The cause was apparently e-cigarette batteries in his pocket. His client, Claudie Charles, was accused of intentionally setting his car on fire. Gutierrez was in the process of arguing that Charles's car had actually spontaneously combusted when the lawyer's own pants appeared to do the same thing.
It was a fix.
Shortly after beginning my argument, I
talk
noticed...
Talk about courtroom grandstanding, right?
Okay, calm down. I noticed that my pocket began to feel hot, Gutierrez stated. When I checked my pocket, I noticed that the heat was coming from a small e-cigarette battery I had in my pocket. There were two or three in my pocket at the time, he said. Gutierrez emphasized that the incident wasn't staged and he never expected the batteries to catch fire. The U.S. Fire Administration claims in a 2014 report the fires with e-cigarettes, even they're rare. However, most have occurred while the batteries are charging. Guess what? For his part, Gutierrez is quitting e-cigarettes.
Going back to the real stuff.
A ski instructor in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, who had a tree branch puncture his face last week, is now praising the Affordable Care Act. Natty Haygood was skiing through some trees last Wednesday when he attempted to go through a gap that was smaller than expected. I went through it, but it knocked me on my butt, Haygood said. Something felt off on my face. I didn't know if I had a broken jaw, but everything felt okay. Haygood thought the accident knocked his chin strap to his upper lip, but when he touched it, he noticed something else. I realized I had impaled my face with a tree branch, he said. My roommate and skiing partner said, "That's an F-bomb moment. Disgusting." Haygood estimates the tree branch sticking through his face was about 2 feet long, if you can believe this.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks the reason that it was so thick is that the snow level is higher than usual. He managed to break off most of the branch before the ski patrol arrived and took him down to the resort clinic. After that, Haygood was taken to a hospital where emergency doctors and a plastic surgeon worked on his face to remove the branch and repair his lip area. The numbing shots were more painful than the actual surgery, said Haygood. It's just a flesh wound. I went skiing the next day, but now I have a big swollen lip and I drool more than I used to.
Hey, better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Exactly. Right? An injury that might leave some people shaken has Haygood feeling grateful for the Affordable Care Act. But though the ACA is making the injury more affordable, the tree branch not only put a hole in his lip, but also a $1,500 hole in his pocket.
So how did the Affordable Care Act do him any good if it cost him $1,500?
Yeah, deductible or copay.
In other words, he had to pay the whole bill.
Well, no, he had to undergo surgery. However, what they're not saying is that the EPA is probably going to come after him.
Well, I'm sure the
protected
ski trip
tree branch
will be not soon forgotten on his part.
I can imagine.
When Daryl Hamilton Jr. decided to propose to his girlfriend, Rayana Lopez, he wanted it to be memorable. Well, it certainly was, but not in the way he intended, expected, or frankly wanted. Last month, Hamilton took Lopez on a plane ride of the Blossom Trail, an area near Fresno, California, where fruit trees start blossoming in late February. Hamilton, a video editor for KFSN-TV, has been dating Lopez for about 2 years and knew he wanted to marry her since last year. I planned it for so long, he told Inside Edition, but he never planned on getting motion sickness during the flight. The only thing that was really on my mind was wanting to get it over with, he said. The video shows Hamilton showing Lopez the ring and asking, "Will you marry me?" Seconds later, all hell broke loose when he vomits on the floor of the airplane.
I do it.
After getting her bearings and wiping her boyfriend's face with a sweater, not sure who owned the sweater, Rihanna said, yes. When you see the video, it's understandable why the couple hasn't made wedding plans yet. If I were Rihanna, I'd ask for a do-over, preferably at sea level.
That's not a very romantic moment, was it?
Not really. The next story proves that being headstrong can bring you some glory, as it did for Lee Longlong. That's his name, a Chinese athlete who stood on his head to get it. Longlong recently appeared on the Guinness World Records Italian show in an attempt to break his previous record for most consecutive stairs climbed on the head. Back in 2012, he managed to climb 34 stairs, but wanted to see if he could beat that record by at least two. Sadly, this record attempt led to a head-crushing defeat two separate times when the show was taped in January. As the video shows, the first time Longlong climbed 36 steps, he was disqualified because he paused twice for more than 5 seconds, a violation of Guinness World Records rules for the event. Longlong came back to the show a week later and was disqualified by touching the stairs with his hands at one point. A short time after this failed record attempt, also in January, he tried again on Chinese TV and set a new record of 36 steps. This story gave me a headache, Chris, but it also proves that when you set your mind or head, in this case, to something, you definitely can accomplish it.
Now, I'd like to see how he does this. I can't even visualize it if you can't use your hands or anything.
Now, does that give meaning to the word headbanger?
I saw the video. It's pretty amazing when you see this guy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine going up or downstairs?
I've come down that way a few times.
Accidentally, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't feel anything.
By accident, of course. Or someone kicked you down the stairwell.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, blame someone else.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got some more odd stuff for you, so stick around. You are listening to The American Adversaries, and when we go out of here at 8 o'clock, you got Mark Walters and his crew coming in.
3 hours.
For 3 hours to take you till 11 o'clock, so a lot of great radio yet to go right here.
Stuff.
That's right. And we'll be back.
Going on. Taking off.
Control.
Oh, if only we could tell you what we talk about during the break.
We can.
All right.
Let's go
back to Kathy, I think.
Anyway, we're going back on the air, so we got to clean it up.
Okay.
You are listening to The American Adversaries. We are live. 407-774-8255 is the number. All right, Kathy Santomassino, Aubrey Kahn, and Christopher Hart here. You there. Let's get back to some odd stuff.
Well, from hard heads to bad hair, it's enough to leave a bad taste in the mouth of any restaurant owner. A customer intentionally puts a hair in the food and uses it as an excuse not to pay the bill. Does this sound familiar?
I was going to say, that can't be new, right?
Well, then the customer attempts to blackmail the restaurant by threatening a bad review on TripAdvisor. Such an appetizing encounter reportedly happened Saturday night at Casa Nostra Ristorante, an Italian eatery in Brisbane, Australia. A customer at the restaurant claimed there was a hair in her pasta and demanded the meal be comped, co-owner Sarah Busso told an Australian news outlet. However, the waiter noticed the hair didn't match that of any of the employees, she added. We all have short, dark, trimmed hair, and this was a strand of dirty, blonde, curly hair, Busso said. The pair threatened to post a bad review on TripAdvisor if the meal wasn't taken off the bill. The woman lived up to her promise and wrote a bad review on TripAdvisor's website. But based on surveillance video posted by the restaurant on Instagram, it looks as if she and her dinner partner complaining had dirty, blonde, curly hair and is putting it into the pasta. But the review was later removed, and Casa Nostra Ristorante has a 4.5-star average based on 67 reviews. Okay, Chris, I feel a dumb blonde joke coming on. A man walked into a burger joint and said to the young blonde woman behind the counter, I want two hamburgers, one with onions and one without. The blonde replied, okay, which one's without the onions? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. A man who police described as busting out of his pants was arrested at a New York City airport on Friday When officers found his legs were heavily strapped with cocaine, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, officers said that Juan Carlos Galan Luperon was packing 10 pounds of the illegal substance worth an estimated $164,000.
Yep.
Okay. When he arrived at JFK Airport from the Dominican Republic, authorities said on Friday. During his examination, Mr. Luperon exhibited numerous signs of nervousness, and his pants appeared to be rather snug. Not in the way you think, U.S. Customs authorities said in a press release that the packages produced a white powder that tested positive for cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Luperon faces federal narcotics smuggling charges. And if you see the image, you will swear this guy looks a lot like the Michelin Man. Remember the Michelin Man?
Yeah.
Well, we love gator tails. And in Florida, we have at least one unusual story a week. A large number of alligators have made a home out of a massive sinkhole near a lake in Florida. Witnesses have reported seeing as many as hundreds of alligators gathering in the deep hole, sinkhole, at Myokka Lake State Park in Sarasota. The sinkhole measures 200 feet wide and between 130 and 140 feet deep and has become a popular location for observing the gators found around the park. On a typical day in the dry season, you can see 50, 150, 200 alligators, park manager Stephen Giguere told a local news outlet. They congregate in this area, only deep water left during dry season, and a good source of food. Giguere added that permits are required to enter the nature preserve and advised it best for guests to observe the gators from a distance, you think? Do not approach the alligator. Please keep a safe distance. General rule, 100-foot minimum should be safe, he said. Chris, did you know alligators can run 35 miles per hour in short bursts and can climb walls and fences?
That's why it's better to be behind them instead of in front of them.
In another trivia note, many of the lakes here in Florida were created by sinkholes filling with groundwater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's you can tell. They have that very circular shape, very steep banks, and many of them very, very deep as well.
Favorite hangout for gators.
Mm.
If you love the color pink, you may want to listen to this next story. Parks officials in Victoria, Australia, are warning visitors to a popular park to avoid contact with a salt lake that has turned bright pink.
Mm-hmm.
Parks Victoria said the salt lake in Melbourne's Westgate Park has turned pink, a natural phenomenon that has occurred before in response to very high salt levels, high temperatures, sunlight, and lack of rainfall. Algae growing in the salt crust at the bottom of the lake produces the red pigment, beta-carotene, as part of its photosynthesis process. And in response to the extremely high salt levels, Parks Victoria said in a Facebook post, the group warned visitors not to drink or touch the pink water and enjoy the views, but we recommend you don't come into contact with the water, the post added. The lake is expected to return to its normal color towards winter when the weather cools and rainfall increases. And that's SOS News for Sunday, March 12th, 2017.
Have you ever seen that show, What on Earth?
No.
Have you seen it, What on Earth?
I don't watch television.
You work too much. It's a show. It's on, I think, National Geographic Channel.
Okay.
And it's of satellite imagery taken of things on Earth that are odd looking. And every now and then they'll catch a lake like that, that'll be, you know, red or in this case pink or green or something like that, and they try to figure out what is going on. And it's a fascinating show because the things that you see from space that you wouldn't normally otherwise see. All right, anyway, have you ever heard of Diego
who?
Diego the giant tortoise.
Oh, okay. No.
I think I have. Is he from the Galapagos Islands?
Galapagos.
Oh.
In fact, he wasn't originally, but he is there now. And he is being credited with saving the race, the giant turtle race.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, not in the 100 yards.
No, it turns out Diego has come up big.
And what I mean by that is that Diego was actually originally from a zoo in California.
Okay.
Hence the name Diego.
Diego. Mm-hmm.
And about 10 or 15 years ago, he was taken down to the Galapagos Islands because the population of giant tortoises was in rapid decline. As a matter of fact, when he showed up down there, when the people took him down there, there were only about 12 left, and most of them female. And that's where Diego comes
in. All right, Diego!
that's where Diego comes
Go,
in.
Go, Diego!
Because Diego has saved the population by prodigiously producing offspring. The conservative estimates are that he has 300 children.
He is aging prematurely now.
Or whatever they call baby turtles, who have many of them grown up to be giant tortoises themselves. And other estimates are as many as 600 or 800.
Well, yeah, because they tend to swim off.
It sounds like that basketball player who had all those kids. What
you talk
was
about
his name?
Wilt Chamberlain, I think.
Yeah,
anyway.
There you go.
All I know is I want to find out what Diego is eating.
I heard he's a vegan, Chris, so what's your excuse?
There may be hope for me. That's what I'm saying, baby. I need to find out what this turtle's secret is, right?
Some seaweed extract, no doubt.
There are turtles that are like almost 200 years old that are still alive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... And
and you know, another species that lives a very long life...
Diego's got a lot of happy days ahead of him,
yeah.
Right?
You know, parrots and Amazons live to be older than some of their owners. That's why a lot of them
60,
are in these refuges,
years.
Because their owners died and they outlived their owners.
All right. Well, anyway, hats off to Diego, man. You give us all hope. All right. You've all heard of Snuggies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You know what a Snuggie is?
It's a blanket that looks like a robe.
Well, that's just it. Nobody really knew what a Snuggie was, right?
And I thought it was a diaper.
No.
I'm sure you folks have probably seen the Snuggies on the TV commercials. It is more, I guess it's a, what do they call those things?
Coverall?
A hoodie?
No, that Mexicans wear that you stick your
poncho.
Head. Poncho. Okay. It's almost more of a poncho because you stick your head in it and I guess your hands go in it, but then it just kind of flows down over your body, kind of
doesn't
a toga.
Zip up like an overall.
I don't know. Some of them might have zippers, but anyways, the government couldn't figure out what it was.
The U.S. government.
Right. And
not too many bright people in the U.S. government.
Well, they wanted to characterize it as a... Well, let me just read this. Federal court rules Snuggie is a blanket. So this had to go to a federal court. And yet may go further. The Snuggie, the fluffy blanket with sleeves that is designed not to slip off,
yes.
No matter how aggressively you reach for the potato chips, received a big win recently. A U.S. trade court ruled that the product should be classified as a blanket rather than clothing, as government lawyers had been trying to claim.
Ah.
What's the difference?
Fire rating.
Well, not just that, but clothing gets a higher tariff tax
mm-hmm.
when they come into the country. So the government wanted to classify it as clothing so that they could collect more taxes on it. And the court has ruled, no, it's a blanket, so it will be taxed at the blanket rate.
Who's going to wear that out in public?
Well, I don't know. If there's a blanket rate, is there? Well, aren't pajamas clothing, lingerie clothing, but you don't necessarily wear that in public, right?
I've seen people wearing it in public.
Well, you might just see a Snuggie out there one day, too. All right, stick around and snuggle up, because we'll be right back with another segment of the American Adversaries.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself.
at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, as we count you down till 8 o'clock at Armed American Radio, and they'll take you live until 11 o'clock. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to get in before we go off the air here in just a few minutes. By the way, I just want to say in April, the Tampa Bay Rays will be back in action, and FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, will be carrying the Rays games this season, and that will mean some disruptions to our shows. Not very much on Sunday nights, but there will be some disruptions, and that's another reason why you need to know that you can listen to us always, whether the Rays are playing or not, on am660theanswer.com. And you can download the free WORL AM/FM app in your smart device, and you will get the live feed from am660theanswer.com, which will not include the Rays baseball. So if you like listening to Rays baseball, you're not going to be able to do that on your smart device. You get the other programming that runs behind it, including ours and whoever else is preempted by the Rays. Anyway, the Rays will be back in the action. They're already obviously playing winter spring training, and in April the regular season starts. Okay, all right. Having said that, we got more to do here tonight. I got another couple of stories for you here. This is a sort of a sad one. You guys know Bob Osborne, don't you? Robert Osborne, Turner Classic Movies,
mm-hmm.
The guy who used to always, you know, sort of
give you.
He passed away this past week, and they're going to do a 48-hour tribute. They ought to do a whole week-long tribute to the guy. I mean, 48 hours just won't do him justice. But anyways, it'll be March 18th and 19th. On TCM. And, you know, they had already sort of been breaking in some other talent to take his place, but he was so good at that. And, you know, he was around back when, you know, a lot of the movies were actually made and first came out. And so it's going to be a shame not to have Robert Osborne on TCM.
Who else died in the last couple of weeks? You know, that guy that used to interview the actors... The actor's studio on A&E.
Yeah, he passed
that
away,
too. That guy died, too, and he was, like, 90 years old, and he looked so young.
Yeah, both of them.
I can't remember his name, though.
Yeah, so we'll miss them guys, that's for sure. Also, this from Great Britain. Now, you know, women... You know, a lot of women like to wear high heels, you know, especially if they're going out at night.
A lot of men now, too.
Or something like that. Yeah, men.
Bruce Jenner does.
That's right.
Or Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, did you know over that in the UK, of course, that's Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
that women are required to wear high heels?
Some jobs they are.
And there's a kickback on that over there. The UK aims to boot high heel requirements. Don't you just love it, these headline writers? In a debate that has gone from office corridors to Britain's parliament, lawmakers put their foot down Monday and told employers to stop making women wear high heels as part of corporate dress codes. So it wasn't a law, but it was dress code at many places that required women to wear, shall we say, feminine looking clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the women's lib movement is a little late coming to Britain, but it has landed there. And sure enough, labor lawmakers are pushing through legislation that would outlaw such codes, such dress codes.
I wonder if they're high heels or stilettos. There's a remarkable difference between high heels and stilettos.
Well, that's a good point. They talk about, they quote this one woman who talks about her employment agency called Portico, who had a dress code specifying that women workers must wear non-opaque tights.
Okay.
I know where I'm going to be putting in an application.
Well, why do you wear opaque tights?
As soon as I find out what Diego's secret is, have hair with no visible roots, wear regularly reapplied makeup, and appear in shoes with a heel between 2 and 4 inches high.
4 inches is a stiletto.
Is that what it is?
Unless it's a platform, but stilettos are very hard on your feet.
All right. Well, there's an online petition calling formal workplace dress codes outdated and sexist. And so far, it has garnered more than 150,000 signatures, making it eligible for debate in Parliament.
Well, if women have to wear them, I'd say make men wear them as well.
A lot of men will do it voluntarily.
All I can say is Madonna, Ashley Judd, the women of Britain, go give them your help, right?
Including Whoopi Goldberg, who wears men's tennis shoes. Let her wear some stilettos.
She was just in town, too, by the way.
No, please don't let her wear stilettos.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines and get another call in here before we got to go out tonight. And Dwayne is up. Hey, Dwayne, how you doing? Appreciate you calling.
I'm doing good, man. I've been following you guys for a while. I actually I was the winner for the Christmas song, I think, last year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did the Islamic Jihad.
That was
Christmas
a great
song.
I remember that.
Dwayne, that was excellent.
That was
loved
good.
It.
Hey, did you got your prizes and all, right? Did you go to Cafe Positano?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, it was awesome. And I love listening to you guys. And tonight, your explanation of the way Senate has got to run through everything to get Obamacare through was excellent. I don't ever hear that in most of the other radio shows. It's just like, it's all, we got to do this, we got to do that. But you actually had a very good, cognizant, excellent explanation of why we can't do it in the time frame that a lot of people want to.
Well,
it was a very good explanation. You guys do a very good job there.
Well,
I really like listening to you guys.
Well, Dwayne, thanks. I appreciate that. And if you leave your address with Jeff, I'll send you another gift certificate to Cafe Positano.
I got a big lasagna for the last $25. I literally spent $25 on a lasagna.
All right. Well, then
I'm good with that.
Stay on, and I'll give you that. I appreciate that. That's one thing I have to admit that I really like about the Sunday night show, because our Monday through Friday show is 2 hours, and that 2 hours just goes way too fast, and it's very difficult to get into depth like I can on Sunday night. So I appreciate that.
And your Israeli guy,
Abe Katzman.
Abe Katzman.
Yeah.
I love that guy. I literally go out of my way to tune in to listen to Abe Katzman.
Well,
that is so fantastic.
I appreciate that. Once again, thank you. And Abe will be on the show with us tomorrow and back on his regular slot.
And I'll probably be listening while I'm cooking dinner because it comes in. It's perfect timing for me.
Well, great. Well, once again, thank you so much, Dwayne. We appreciate that. And thanks for listening on Sunday night.
No, thank you guys for being out there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hi, buddy.
All right. Okay. All right. And Yeah, I you know, there's a couple of things I like about the Sunday night show. And, you know, when Hugh Hewitt was in town, you know, we were talking a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. back last year. And he was asking me, he says, how do you like doing Sunday night shows? Because when I started on radio, I started on Sunday nights, Hugh Hewitt.
Right.
And I said, I love it. I said, because, first of all, it's a three-hour show, and it gives me a chance to get into a little bit more depth. But also, it gives us the first crack of whatever happened over the weekend or since Friday. It gives us the first hit at it, right? And we're the first ones out of the gate. And then it's interesting to see that as the week goes along, how many times things that we have talked about and what we have said on the Sunday night show ends up being echoed on other shows throughout the week. So I appreciate you folks who are listening out there on Sunday
and
night.
And I think Sunday night is like, if I can use this comparison, remember the old Ed Sullivan show, and there'd be all kinds of different entertainment, from the comedians to the jugglers to the vocalists. And I think our show is equivalent to a variety show on radio.
Really big shoe.
Yeah.
Really big shoe.
You know, you think about
it. You know, one of those acts I used to love to watch was the guys who would spin the plates on did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Where do those guys go?
They're jugglers, in a sense.
They were.
You know?
How they could get those things going and keep them going.
Did you hear, speaking of jugglers, I know we're limited on time, but there was a guy who got stopped by a police officer. The police officer thought he was impaired under the influence, and he was a college student, and the officer said, we're going to have to give you a sobriety test, and he said, I'm sober. Let me show you. He pulls out these pens, and he proceeds to do a juggling act in front of the police officer. And the police officer was so entertained, he said, that was the best traffic stop he's ever had. And he enjoyed it thoroughly, and he let him go. But I thought that was funny.
Well, you got to admit, if a guy can juggle, he's probably not inebriated.
I know,
or he's inebriated all the time.
And he can juggle.
And he can juggle, that's right. All right, well, we can't juggle the clock, and it's running out on us here. But once again, Mark Walters coming up next. They can do a great show as well. Tomorrow night, Abe Katzman will be in with coming to us live from Jerusalem. And please tune in for that. And don't forget the Wounded Officers Initiative Gala coming up on April the 1st. You all are invited. And I encourage you to please come out and help us support our police community, the law enforcement community. WoundedOfficersInitiative.org is where you can get tickets and find out more about the organization. You spell all that out, WoundedOfficersInitiative.org, and please come out and join us April the 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Ocoee Lakeshore Center. I have the honor and great privilege to be the MC once again for this event, and it's sure to be a tearjerker, and sure to give you much more admiration and respect than I know you already have for our law enforcement community and what some of these people have given up in order to look out for us. I'll never forget. Remember last year when that guy came in with the exoskeleton suit? And he had his little boy with him. Mm. And it was just, I mean, it was heart-wrenching. But it fills you up with pride to know that there are people like that in our community. Okay. And once again, don't forget, double-check us on Facebook. Check us in the morning. Check us in the evening. Kathy's constantly putting things up there. And, of course, you can leave messages, too. And like us if you do. And if you don't, let us know why. And, okay, so that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Once again, I want to thank you so very much for being with the American Adversaries. Don't forget, our Monday through Friday show, you can also find at midnight on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. You can find them at rednationrising.us. All right, so with all that said and done, night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
From the Total Roof Services.